kiss me, walk, walk. And I didn't realise they were shouting at me. I didn't hear. Guess what I was? I was a snowflake. So lovely seeing how happy his face was and how like almost shocked he was. He was like, wow, I forgot what outside was like. Everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about how my neighbours probably think I'm a weirdo. But before we start, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, Redpost. Redpost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. And I feel like now is the time where, because it's coming up to Christmas, I'd say it's just over a week away, because Christmas is on a Monday this year. So if you haven't got your Christmas presents yet, I'd say now is the time to start panicking. And yes, dads, if you're listening, if you're anything like my dad, now is the time. You really do need to think about Christmas presents for people. So be sure to get your Christmas presents from Redpost. They do dog stuff. So for my boyfriend's dog, Ruby, I think I might get her a few treats, maybe some toys as well. But anyway, thank you again to Redpost for sponsoring the podcast. And let's get straight into it. Anyway, oh my goodness, my neighbours. So I've lived in the cottage I've lived in it for over a year now, but it doesn't really feel like that because I got the keys to the cottage in October 2022, and then I moved in for a little bit, and then basically around Christmas time I had to move out again because I had my bathroom redone, I had to have my roof taken off, so I had no toilet, no roof, no warmth, so it was just a bit of a building site. And I wasn't allowed to move upstairs either because I had carpet moths, so I couldn't bring any of like my clothes in or any soft furnishings, so my bed had to be in the living room. So I was looking back actually on my phone at pictures of what the cottage looked like a year ago, because it's December now, and I was like, wow, it looks very different. It looks so much more cozy and warm, and I tell you what, it is a lot warmer, that is for sure. But at first, you know, when I first moved into the cottage, my neighbours probably thought I was a little odd, in the sense that I know that I'm very, very grateful and very, very lucky to be a very, very young first time house owner. So they probably thought I did something weird as a job. I don't know, maybe they thought I did something illegal. I don't know, but there we go. So that was probably red flag number one. Red flag number two is probably that a lot of the time with my job, I'm away quite a bit. So sometimes I'll be away for a few days just randomly for work, and also a lot of those times when I do go away for work, if I'm like filming somewhere or going to a horse show or that kind of thing, my dad normally comes and picks me up at about 4 a.m. so they're like, who is this young girl that's got a house of her age and then gets randomly picked up in the middle of the night by a strange man? Like, they're probably thinking, who is this girl? Well, anyway, I feel like the other day I did something where my neighbors probably thought, okay, like, this has got to a point now. Like, who, like, what a weirdo. Because it's winter at the moment, you guys all know, it gets dark very early. And, sorry, rewind a little bit. So it gets dark early. I had to be in my garden in the middle of the night. Well, not in the middle of the night, but it looked like it because it was dark. Anyway, rewind a little bit. My boyfriend's parents have this Christmas tree at their house, and it's one of those ones like in the garden that's buried. It's not like a Christmas tree. It's just like, you know, it's just in their garden, and it's grown so big that they got to the stage where they're like, we need to get rid of this Christmas tree because it's too big to fit in their kind of flower bed area. And they said to me, oh, would I like it for my garden? So I was like, yeah, sure, that would be great. Yes, please. And anyway, I didn't really realise how big it was. I thought, you know, it would be a normal Christmas tree height, which normally I'd say Christmas trees, I'd say 6 foot, would you say, is like a normal average Christmas tree? And I'm 5'6"-ish. So, you know, a few cent, just a little, well, I say a little bit taller than me, quite a few inches taller than me. But this Christmas tree is probably about 7 foot, I want to say. It's quite big, to be fair. They did kindly chop a little bit of the top off for me so it would fit in my car. But anyway, picked up this Christmas tree, had it in my car for a little bit, and it was properly raining the other day, and I was like, I'm not going to get it out of my car straight away. So what did I do? I got a washing up bowl, filled it with water, put the roots of this Christmas tree in the washing up bowl, kept it there for a day. And then that evening, and I did drive to work and back with a Christmas tree in my car in a bowl of water. Luckily, didn't spill any, so that's good. It's not that far. Anyway, so that's probably like weirdo points number one. I think we're past number one at this point. Anyway, got home one evening from work, thought, oh no, I've got this Christmas tree in my car, which actually at one stage it did really freak me out because I was driving along one of the branches, like, touched the back of my neck. And I feel like anything touching the back of your neck without you realizing is creepy number one. But when you're in a car on your own, I was like, what is that? And I realized it was the Christmas tree. Anyway, so I decided in pitch black that I was going to bury my Christmas tree in my garden. So went down to my shed, got out my shovel, and just started digging a hole in my garden. Now, I really hope that my neighbours don't think I'm a murderer because I was digging a hole right down the bottom of my garden. I tell you what, it wasn't too bad, actually, digging the hole. I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to take me ages or it's going to be really hard work. But because we've had so much rain recently, the ground is so soft. So it was actually really easy to dig the hole. Although I did have to make it a little bit bigger than I imagined. So anyway, then it was time to bury this real Christmas tree in one of my kind of flower beds. And to be fair, I am pretty proud of myself because that thing, yeah, it was like 7 foot. It was huge. Carried it all the way from my car through the like kind of neighbor car park area down to the flower bed, put it in. And then I had to kind of like hold up this tree while trying to like bury it with my shovel. And there was a lot of pine needles in my face, but I did it. I managed to do it. And tell you what, it does look really good. I just hope it stays alive because, as I said before, it had to live in my car for a day. And then also, I am the one that's burying it, and I am definitely not a professional gardener or tree burier or anything like that. So hopefully it stays alive. Hopefully it doesn't fall over as well. I feel like I made a big enough hole, but you know, if we do get some blustery winds, I really don't want it to fall down and die because it does look so cute at the bottom of my garden. I even went to the garden centre the other day and I picked up some outdoor Christmas lights. I got ones where you can put batteries in them because there's nowhere kind of in that area where I could plug it into a mains plug. And also the thought of having like a mains plug outside kind of scares me a little bit because I don't want to start a fire or get electrocuted. So anyway, I've put some little lights on them and it looks so cute. So from my kitchen or from my living room, when I'm looking through the window, I can just see my little Christmas tree sparkling away. Because I wasn't really sure if I was going to like put Christmas lights on my house this year or not, because my house is in the middle of nowhere. I guess my neighbours would be able to see it, but you can't see my house from like the road or anything. So, and also my garden is like not facing the road at all. So only my next door neighbour will be able to see my Christmas lights. But it makes me happy. So anyway, that is the story on why my neighbours probably think I'm a weirdo. Although, actually, I do think they have probably searched me up on the internet because one of my neighbours, he's so sweet. He actually like talks to me every now and again about my channel, and he's been watching my cottage renovation series. He's like, oh, I like the colour you painted your cupboards, and I don't know, things like that, which is sweet. And one of my other neighbours, actually, she was really sweet and sent me a letter through my little letterbox. That was when I was on BBC News, and she was like, I saw you on the telly, I just wanted to say like well done, and that was really cool. So yeah, that is the story on why my neighbours think I'm a weirdo. Anyway, moving swiftly on, I thought we'd talk about the horses. Joey is now home, which is excellent news. Hopefully you guys would have seen the video on my channel. If not, go and check it out because it's a fun one. I basically spent the whole of that video like cleaning Joey's stable because it was pretty disgusting. Got the Hoover out again. I'd say having a yard Hoover or vacuum cleaner has been the best investment because normally before, when the stables would get a bit dusty or a few cobwebs in places, I'd use my broom to kind of sweep up all of the, you know, just kind of get all the cobwebs down. And the problem with that is dust would be absolutely everywhere. It would make me sneeze, it'd make me cough, I'd get it in my eyes. But having a Hoover, obviously it sucks up all the dust, so you don't have to worry about breathing it in, and it's great. And also my mum doesn't get angry that I use her Hoover, so there we go, win-win. When I took Joey home, because Joey actually, he had not seen like the sun or the outside world in 3 weeks, or actually over 3 weeks he was in hospital. So when I was leading him out, when he saw the like outside world for the first time, he was like, oh my goodness, I haven't seen this. Like, it was so lovely seeing how happy his face was and how like almost shocked he was. He was like, wow, I forgot what outside was like. To be fair, last time when I took him home from hospital, which was a year, maybe it was under a year. I don't know if he would have been out of hospital yet. But anyway, when I took him out of hospital last year, he was so confused because it had snowed and we don't get that much snow in the UK. So when he came out, he was like, what has happened outside? Anyway, when we took him home, he was so excited. He leaped off the horse box. But the thing that made me laugh so much and made me feel so bad for Casper was, of course, Joey wanted to go and see all of his friends to say hi. So I left him on kind of like a loose lead rope. And I let him kind of like walk over to Mickey and he said hello to Mickey. And that was really cute. And then the way that my horse's stables are, it goes Joey, Mickey, Casper, Duke. So to get to Duke, Joey had to walk past Casper. And I thought, oh, it's so cute, he's going to go over to Casper next and say hi. Nope, completely blanks him, walks straight past Casper, and then goes to Duke. So obviously he went and said hello to Duke, and then he saw Casper on the way back to his stable. So that was sweet. But to be fair, Casper is, I think he's not had the best start in life or not had a very good past. I know that he was bullied by other horses in his past, so I think he's just quite sensitive. So he does like sometimes pin his ears back at other horses when they walk past his stable. Even though Joey and Casper love each other, like when they're out in the field together, they groom each other, like they are best buds. But I think Casper was just a little bit sad that Joey was home because, I don't know, I think he quite likes being top horse. And because Joey's like the dominant leader of the herd, that Casper's not that anymore. So I think he was a little bit, oh man, I'm not the king anymore. But anyway, it was sweet. They did have a little kiss over the stable door, a little hello. The next big thing that's also happened this week is that Mickey had a little party. He had a trip out. So I don't think Mickey has been out in the horse box for over a year and a half, I want to say. We did like a little meet and greet one, I was going to say not even last summer before that. But anyway, so this year I thought I would surprise all of the kids at Team Touchin, which is a charity riding school that I'm a patron for. And I've been working with them for quite a while now. And every now and again, I go and surprise the kids on a Saturday who do Saddle Club, which is really cool. The way it kind of works is it's a charity riding school, so they help kids that maybe wouldn't be able to be with horses or maybe children who are in the care system. And anyway, what they do on a Saturday, which I think all riding schools should do, it's so cool. So basically the parents drop all the kids off there and then they are there on the Saturday for pretty much the whole day. They all go down to the field, get all the horses up from the field, they all groom the horses, muck out, tack up, poo pick the fields, and then the older ones help with the younger ones in the lessons by either leading them or teaching them how to do things. And then later on in the afternoon, the older ones often have a lesson, so obviously it's all done on like ability and things as well. But I just think it's so lovely. Like, there's such a lovely family there. Like, it's not like some yards where, you know, there's a bit of cattiness or people fall out or very cliquey. It's not like that at all. It's like a proper big family and everyone helps out with everyone and everyone gets along. And oh, it's just so lovely there. And all the people that run it are so lovely too. So it was really nice to see everyone again. I've taken Casper there once before. I took Casper back in April and I joined in for one of the show jumping lessons. That was really good fun. And Casper was really good with all the kids, especially, as I said before, Casper's a little bit more of an introvert horse. He definitely likes to keep himself to himself. But he was so good with all the kids, was so lovely, and like them all patting him and everything. Like, often, like I'd say, always say that you have to be part of Casper's club to, you know, be able to touch him and cozy up with him, but he was so good. I think he was secretly loving all the attention. So anyway, this time I took Mickey, and obviously Mickey has met some of you guys before, so I knew that he was going to be fine. Did have to give him a big old wash beforehand though, because he was absolutely filthy. I feel like whenever you have like a big thing, like if it's a show or a lesson or if I'm filming, my horses always know, like they get so dirty. So anyway, Mickey had a good old bum wash. That's the area where he often gets the most dirty. But yeah, he said hello to everyone. Oh my gosh, he was so excited. When we put him in the horse box or loaded him up, he was like neighing and neighing to Mickey, Casper and Joey, being like, bye guys, see you later, I'm off. And like, he was just so excited. Anyway, as soon as we're on the road, he stopped neighing and tucked into his haglage net. So he was really happy. He's also so good to travel as well. So anyway, yeah, we arrived at Team Touchem. He said hello to everyone. His mind was a little bit blown when he first arrived and saw like everyone there waiting for him. But he went straight into his stable and he just loved the attention. He did do what Casper did as well, where at first he was like, oh yes, give me all the treats, give me all the pets, give me all the love. And then after a while, he'd like stick his head over, go and get a mouthful of haylage, come back again. But yeah, he loved it. He was such a good boy. While all the horses were being ridden, because we did this like big group mounted games session, which I had so much fun doing. Mounted games is probably like one of my favorite disciplines that I did when I was a kid. And it's something that I would love to still do, but I just don't have the right horse for it all the time or that kind of thing. And I don't even know if there are any really like adult mounted games groups or teams near where I live anyway. But anyway, that was one thing that I really enjoyed when I was younger, and I actually used to do a Mickey, so there we go. We were definitely more slow and steady wins the race. As I got older, things kind of got a little bit more competitive, so you had to be really quick rather than really accurate. So me and Mickey were like the safe bet. We were like, you know, the tortoise and the hare. We were the tortoise, but we'd win the race. Anyway, especially as Mickey started to get older and have all his health problems that he has. But anyway, yeah, I had so much fun. I rode, I think, two different horses, one called Mav or Maverick, and then one called Echo as well. Echo, I would say, was like more speedy. Echo was like proper going for it. Did a little happy bronc, I think, on stage, which was so funny. I loved it. And then Mav was definitely a little bit more like slow and steady, but he had such like a lovely rocking horse canter, which was great for the one race that I did, because we did one of those races where you hold a cup of water and you have to try and like obviously win the race, and then you also get points for how much water you keep in the cup. So we definitely weren't the fastest for the race, but I managed to keep the most water in my cup for that one, so won that one. But I think that's because he had such a lovely smooth canter. So anyway, that was really good fun. I led some of the kids in some of the younger races or with the riders that were more novice, and oh, it was just so much fun. I feel like if you're a competitive person, you have that for life, because even though I was like going up against children, I was still very competitive. There was one race where I got properly told off because I asked the kid, I was like, do you want to walk or do you want to trot? And she was like, I want to trot. And I was like, okay, perfect. I didn't realize this was a walking race because we were right down the bottom and obviously didn't hear the instructions properly. So when it was time to go, it was like, on your marks, get set, go. We started trotting. We were like trotting like half the thing before we heard the kind of like leader of the races being like, Esme, walk! Walk! And I didn't realise they were shouting at me. I didn't hear that they were saying walk. I do think I have some sort of like hearing problems. All of my family say, oh, you have selective hearing, you're just ignoring us. I'm like, I promise I don't. If I'm in my little dream world, or if I'm, you know, concentrating on something, which obviously during that race, I was concentrating, like me and my teammate, we were winning. I didn't hear it at all. And everyone was like, oh, you were like ignoring us so you could cheat and that kind of thing. I was like, no, I promise I didn't. So anyway, when we did the, if you did trot when you're supposed to walk, or in the trotting race and you cantered when you're supposed to only trot, you had to do a circle. So we did a little circle, but I don't know if we won that race or not, I can't even remember, but we had a lot of fun. They also had donuts and a milkshake van there, because I think one of their friends, or one of the people at Team Touchem, their friends has one of those trucks that go to horse shows and sells donuts and milkshakes. So that was incredible. That was amazing, especially if they were freshly made as well. One of the problems with that, though, was when we were taking photos with Mickey, one of the girls had a strawberry milkshake, and Mickey saw that strawberry milkshake and wanted to try a little bit. Luckily, he didn't have any, but there was one point where I could see it in his eye. He had his cheeky face on and his tongue was just coming out. It's just coming out towards the milkshake, and I grabbed him by the milk head collar. I was like, no, Mickey, not for Mickey's, not for horses. Don't worry, he did get a lot of treats and a lot of attention that day. But again, he was just so good, so well behaved. And then it was sadly time to say goodbye, time to take him home. And again, he was having a little neigh in his horse box, saying goodbye to all his friends. As I said before, when all the horses went out and we did games with them, they actually left this little old pony with Mickey. So they had a little old man fans meeting. They were next to each other to keep Mickey company, so he wasn't the only one there. So that was really lovely. Made a new friend. But yeah, that was my time at the Christmas party at Team Touchem. I had, honestly, so much fun. Such a wholesome day. Also, something else that I've done lately is I filmed another Riding Dares video, but a Christmas version, because for some reason, you lot seem to absolutely love my Riding Dares videos. But also, I did promise that there would be a second one this year, because the first one I filmed this year was with Casper, and I said I really need to do a part two, but with Joey. However, you guys all know that Joey has unfortunately hurt himself. He's out of action. He's in hospital. He's out of hospital now, but he's on box rest, so can't be ridden at the moment. Hopefully it won't be too long until he's back in action again. I'll keep you guys updated on Joey, but he's doing well. He's recovering well. Still got a bandage on though. But anyway, so yes, Riding Dares. You guys always ask me to do some ridiculous things. I think last time the worst one was probably when I jumped into the muck heap head first. That wasn't fun. I had to have a big old shower after that. Actually, one of you guys at one of my meet and greets recently did ask me how long did it take to get all the smell off me after jumping into the muck heap. I don't actually know, but it definitely took a while. Also, somebody else made me do a tacking up challenge or grooming challenge blindfolded last time. Yeah, it was blindfolded grooming. And I felt like one of the funniest things when I was watching back, editing the footage, was all the hoof oil that I put on Casper. I just put way too much on it. Ended up putting some on his legs as well as his hooves. So he had some moisturized legs. Anyway, the most ridiculous thing that you guys got me to do this time, it was not good. It was to put on lipstick while cantering Casper one-handed. Now, I did do the challenge successfully, but it did mean for the rest of the video, I had this bright pink lipstick all over my face. And it's safe to say, because I didn't have a mirror, I was doing it one-handed and also doing it while cantering on a horse. It wasn't only on my lips, it was pretty much all over my face, and I looked absolutely ridiculous. Now, I knew that I was going to be a little bit tight for time when filming this Riding Dares video, because the vets give you like an hour window of when they're going to arrive. And normally they're a little bit on the late side. This day though, they were a little bit on the early side. So I just finished doing the Riding Dares video, all good, untacked Casper, put him out on the field. The vets came up and I still had this bright pink lipstick all over my face, and I looked absolutely ridiculous. Now, the vets luckily do know what I do for my job. Luckily, this title is not going to be everyone thinks I'm a weirdo. It's just my neighbours that probably think I'm a weirdo. So they do know what I do for my job. Sad to explain, like, that's why, you know, the face is looking how it's looking. I did try my best to, like, wipe most of it off, but it just made it worse. It wasn't good. It was a bit embarrassing. Because it wasn't only the vet there as well. They had a student vet, or, like, somebody that's in vet school that's, like, shadowing a vet or learning how to do things. So, yeah, that was good fun. But Joey was very good for his bandage change. They always say how well-behaved he is. And I just love how cozy and cuddly he is when he's sedated, which sounds really bad. But it's just, he just looks so peaceful and sleepy. And he has his like bottom lip always droops out. Bruno does that all the time as well, but that's just Bruno. He just like, I think it's like an old horse thing. Even though Joey is not old, he is 9, which still sometimes surprises me, because I still think of him as baby Joey, because I got him as a 5-year-old. But anyway, he just does that because he's sleepy, but he's always so sweet, so cute. So yeah, that was my, I feel like hopefully that is all the embarrassing stories for today's podcast episode. Actually, before we end, I've got a bit of an idea, because every now and again, I love learning about the differences in culture between the UK and America. And recently, something that I found out is that apparently not many of you guys in the US have seen the film The Nativity, or even have like nativities in general. I don't know, maybe some places do, maybe some places don't, but there was this one American and they had no idea what like a school nativity production is. So I feel like I need to educate you guys. Also, I feel like I'm on nativity TikTok at the moment, because everyone's doing like this trend about what they were in the nativity. I'll explain what the nativity is first, and then I'll tell you guys what I was in the nativity. So anyway, starting off, it's basically around Christmas time, often primary schools, or in the US, I guess, elementary schools. So what age is primary school? It's from the age of 4, if you're in reception, 4 or 5, which is like half kindergarten. And then I'd say like 11 is probably the oldest that you'd be. Yeah, 10, 11, you'd be in year six. So anyway, it's a school production, so like a school play kind of thing, but it's all about Christmas, and it's the story of, you know, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, all that kind of stuff. So sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I was Mary in my nativity, or I was Joseph, or, you know, like main parts, or maybe like one of the three wise men. Anyway, my first ever nativity at primary school, guess what I was? I was a snowflake. Which I feel like is definitely not a main part. I mean, I was only four at the time. I was very, very young. So I wore like a little white dress and white tights, I think, and had like tinsel and stuff on me. I don't know. I can't really remember. I was so young. But anyway, I had no words, just did some like dancing around, pretending to be a snowflake. And there we go. I think that year, the nativity was a little bit more like on the modern side. I think it was the nativity, but they also had some other stuff. I think, you know, snow, that kind of thing. I don't know if they had snow in Bethlehem during that time. I don't think so. But anyway, there we go. Actually, to be fair, my first nativity when I was at preschool or nursery, I was an angel. So there we go. What can you say? And then after that, I think I was just a shepherd. I think I was a shepherd every year after that, because my school, I think they stopped doing a nativity when I got to year three. So maybe when I was like seven, eight, kind of year three or four, around that kind of stage. So I never got to be Mary or one of the main parts, because often they'd get one of the year sixes to do that. And then they changed it. So it was only the younger years that did the nativity. So when I got old enough to be Mary, never got to be Mary, which is a bit disappointing. But anyway, so yeah, there's this trend at the moment. It's everyone saying who they were in the nativity, and it's often people saying like the really small part that they had. So there was one person, they said that they were like the door knocker, and I thought that was really funny. That's really cool. But yeah, I was a shepherd, so I had a tea towel on my head. I quite liked it though, because I had a little cuddly toy sheep. Also, this shows how kind of country girl I am. My primary school, we didn't have someone dress up as a donkey. One year, we had a real donkey come in. So there we go. I think one year also we had a Shetland pony come in that had donkey ears. So they weren't my donkeys though. My donkeys would have probably pooed themselves in the hall or at the door, or probably would not have wanted to come in. So there we go. They're not indoor donkeys. My donkeys are a little bit more on the feral side, but anyway, and also my parents were like, I do not want the responsibility of bringing the donkeys in and then almost like running over a child or biting someone. I don't know, like, we don't have the public liability insurance for that. Anyway, so that is my nativity kind of what I was, I guess. So yeah, that's the nativity. The other thing that I found out that Americans or some cultures don't have at Christmas is a Christmas cracker. And I don't know how to explain what a Christmas cracker is to someone who doesn't know what it is, especially in a podcast, because I can't really show you. So I'm going to have to try and do the best audio description that I can. If you could imagine, you know, like this is so, such a bad way to put it. Okay, you know, like a roll of toilet paper, you know, the like cardboard bit in the middle. If you could imagine that, but wrapped in like pretty paper, or like in a pretty colour with Christmas decorations on. And then there's two little bits of ribbon either side. And there's often like, is it gunpowder? I know that sounds a little bit extreme. But basically, if you could imagine like a little mini firework. Oh, sorry, touched the mic then. If you could imagine like a little mini firework in the middle, this sounds so bonkers. And then what you do is everyone crosses arms around the table, you pick up a cracker, and then you have to pull the crackers. Normally I'm that person, especially actually when I was a kid, I was always that person that would cheat. And instead of holding the end, I would hold a little bit the middle as well. So I would win the cracker. And basically, if you get the middle bit and one of the ends, you're the winner. And if you just get the end, you don't get anything. But we're a sort of family, or whenever I've been with friends, if you accidentally pull two crackers, you always give one to your friend, and, you know, Christmas spirit. And inside, normally, or back in the day when I was a kid, it would be some sort of really rubbish, single-use plastic toy that you would never play with again. I feel like in recent years, they've either done things that are metal, or actually all the ones that I've done this year at like Christmas dinners with friends and family so far have been made of paper. So I think one of them had a word search, one of them had a Sudoku. Trying to think of other things that my friends and family have had. There was a, it's normally like really rubbish things. I remember my favourite thing that I had once in a cracker when I was a kid was one of those glow-in-the-dark plastic frogs, and then you like press the back of them and they leap or they jump. They're always quite good fun. What other things? You get like, I don't know, like a key ring or a bottle opener or, I think I got an egg cup once, like a metal twirly egg cup. So I feel like, yeah, nowadays they do maybe like better things. I don't know. Each to their own. And you always get a paper hat in them as well. So I always find it really funny because my boyfriend's got such a big head that every year when he puts a Christmas cracker kind of crown on or paper hat kind of crown thing, it always rips. Or he just like has it perched on the top of his massive head. But this year, actually, at his Christmas work party, we managed to find a Christmas cracker crown that actually fit his head. I mean, that was way too big for me because I have a tiny head, so there we go. But also, every Christmas dinner I've had so far, I've had two, my hat has actually coordinated with my outfit, so there we go. Wore a green dress the other day, had a green hat. You know, they don't call me the queen of matchy-matchy for nothing. Sorry, that was so cringe. I hate saying stuff like that. Anyway, so there we go. Yeah, so that is a Christmas cracker, really. I'm trying to think of other Christmas traditions that we have in the UK that maybe other cultures don't have. If you can think of some, let me know. Or if you're from a different country to the UK, let me know what your Christmas traditions are that we might not have. Because I love hearing other kind of Christmas traditions, or actually like Christmas, maybe like traditions that's maybe just in your family or from different cultures. I always think that's so lovely. But yeah, Christmas crackers, a little bit of a weird one, but there we go. Anyway, I'm going to finish off today's podcast episode here because I feel like I've been rambling on for a little while. I feel like we've covered a lot of different things. Mickey's Christmas party, Christmas crackers, the nativity, my neighbours thinking I'm a weirdo. Oh my gosh, that was this episode. Like that was ages ago. Anyway, so I really hope you enjoyed listening to today's podcast episode. Just want to say a huge thank you again to Red Post Question for very kindly sponsoring the podcast, and I'll see you all next time. Bye.